Okay, we're beginning here on the two dots on Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. Now, the Gemara says, with regards to our Mishnah, when it comes to the fact that the Shomer gets a choice between taking a Shavua in a case where he could be Patur if he took a Shavua, or paying, does he actually have to pay to win those rights? Or if he says that he's going to pay, does he get those rights? So the first statement we have is Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shilem Shilem Mamash, that he doesn't have to actually pay. Literally pay the amount. As long as he says, I am willing to pay and I will pay, even if he didn't actually pay the money, he then becomes entitled to the kefel. In that instance, he becomes the owner of the object. Tnan, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, Shilem velo retza li shava. Sounds from our Mishnah, it says, Shilem, that he wanted to pay, velo retza li shava, and he didn't intend to take a shva. The Mishnah sounds like Shilem in, lo Shilem no, that he has to literally make payment. Only if he makes payment does he actually get the right. If he doesn't make payment, he doesn't get the right. Gemara says, Eima seifa, what about the second half of our Mishnah? Nishba velo retza li shalem. Over there it says that he took a shva and he did not want to make payment. Time of the lo retza. The only reason that he does the shva works over here is because he didn't intend to pay or he doesn't want to pay. Haratza, had he wanted to pay, even though he didn't actually make payment, then it would have been good enough for him to get acquisition or acquire the property or the object here in order to become the balim to collect the kefel. From this, from our Mishnah, we cannot come to any conclusion. That's right, we've used this before in the Gemara here in Baba Metzia. The Gemara tries to be medayik something from the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, well, the Reish is one way, Seif is the other way. Can't be medayik from our Mishnah, like the Mashmina. Similar type of idea that we had in Baba Kama. The Gemara in Baba Kama has Mishishanazu, Tavra, Mishishanazu, Lo Shanazu. Many times the Gemara used this term in Baba Kama, that by a Mishnah, in Baba Kama it says, Tavra, that this Mishnah is not a consistent Mishnah, it's not a single Tana that authored this Mishnah, but rather different Tanaim that offered the Mishnah. The Gemara used that refrain a number of times in the Mishnayot and Baba Kama. Now here when it comes to Baba Metzia, we're seeing a similar type of idea with a different expression. The Gemara here is using this expression, El of Meha, Lekha Lamash Mina, from our Mishnah. Many times the Gemara is trying to be Medayik something, it takes Reisha Seif, it says there's no conclusive proof from our Mishnah. Lekha Lamash Mina, it's the same refrain that's being used by the Gemara about the Mishnayot and Baba Metzia. Whether it was said about one Mishnah, the Gemara is unsure where to apply it and then tests it in numerous places, or whether it was said about all these Mishnayot, there was a common thread between the Mishnayot and Baba Metzia, and similar question would be arise in Baba Kama, whether Tavra, Mishishanazu, Loshanzu was a single statement, and they were trying to locate which Mishnah was, or they applied it to multiple Mishnayot, or was it said about the Mishnayot as a whole in Baba Kama, that there's a number of these Mishnayot, and it's a common thread between them. It's unclear to me. Now, Tanya Kavatit Rabbi Yochanan, we have a price that supports this position of Rabbi Yochanan, a Sucher Para Michaveiro, someone who rents out a para from his friend, Vinigneva, and then it's stolen. And then the socher says, "I'm ready to shalom, v'ini nishba. I'm decided. I want to pay you. I'm not going to take a shva." V'achor kach nimsa ganav. Afterwards, we find a ganav. Mishalom tashlim kefil to socher. Then the ganav who's found will pay kefil to the socher, even though all he said was, "Hareini mishalom, I will pay." Doesn't say that he actually paid, so that will support the position of Rabbi Yochanan that the mere fact that you say that you're going to pay, that's sufficient to make you into the owner and to collect the kefil. Amar Papa, shomer chinam. When it comes to a shomer chinam, kevin shomer pashati maknele kefila. As soon as he says that I'm poshea in the item, then he gets the kefil right away. He becomes obligated in the kefil. Why? Shomer chinam that is says pashati is then obligated to pay for the item. If he is obligated to pay the item, then he becomes the owner of the item. De'i bayim pato nafshei bigneva, because the shomer chinam is another option. He could have claimed that it was stolen. If it was stolen, he would have been patur. The fact that he says that I was poshea and a pashati ba means that he's obligating himself in payment now. Once he's obligated himself in payment, as opposed to the alternative of being poter himself, that means that already the item becomes his, and it's as if he said, I'm going to pay for it. Shomer Sachar, Kevin Shomer Nignava, Maknele Kefela. Also, a Shomer Sachar that makes a claim that it was stolen from him, then right away he becomes in possession of the Kefel, meaning he becomes the owner of the item from this point forward, because he will pay and he will take ownership of it. Why is this? Because the Shomer Sachar has another out. Shomer Sachar has the ability to say ones. If he said ones, he would have been patur. The fact that he's saying that it's nignava means that he's obligating himself in payment. If he's obligating himself in payment, that means that from that point forward, he becomes the owner of the object, because he didn't take up the alternative of making himself patur. Shoel, on the other hand, Shomer Arenim Shalem, Lo Makni Lake Fela. On the other hand, the Shoel says that I have to pay you. We don't give him the kefel. Why? But my havalei the miftar nafshei. What was his alternative? He has no alternatives. I mean, the shu'el is chayav in all instances. If he's chayav in all instances, then he has no alternative to be poter himself. So when he says, Harim Shalem, that's not a chiddush that he's going to pay here. Because he has to pay no matter what the circumstances are. So what's the choice? The choice, oh, there is one thing that shows, but the about Meita Machmat Malacha. If it died while he was working with it. Rabbi says, Meita Machmat Malacha Lushliach, that he dies while he's working with it, that's a very uncommon case. Therefore, that claim is not really a great claim that he can have, and therefore he's always Chayav to pay. So when he says, I'm going to pay, he didn't tell us anything, any new information here. He didn't obligate himself in any way, as opposed to Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sechar, who gave us information and say they're going to pay. In those instances, they had alternative claims, and the fact that they told us this was the information and we're going to pay, that by definition makes them the owner of the item, as opposed to a Shoel, who, no matter what he says, is irrelevant because he's going to pay no matter what. Igadamri, Amar Papa, Shoel Nami, Kemin Shamarin, Mishalim, Maknele Kfela. That is another reading of Rapapa, which is that Rapapa said that even a Shoel, if he says, I'm going to pay, he gets the Kefa. Why? Because he could have been Poter as Nevesh, he could have freed himself from the obligation had he said, Meita Machmat Malacha. So therefore, again, his statement of obligating himself to pay is a statement of meaning, and if it's a statement of meaning, then he becomes comes into possession of the kefa, or becomes the owner of the item. So Amar Rav Zvid, Hachi Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Shoel Ashi Shalem, that a Shoel does not take possession of the kefa until he actually pays, as opposed to the other Shomnim, where if they said something, they come into possession of the kefa. A Shoel, until he actually pays, does not come into the possession of my time. Oh, what's the reasoning for him? Ho v'chol ha'na'a shelo. Because by a Shoel, all the benefit is to him. He's paying nothing for this item. His friend's lending to him. Everything good that's happened here all goes to the Shoel. If that's the case, bidu bura lo makne lekfela. The owner himself is not going to be willing to give to the Shoel the benefit of the kefel by the mere fact that he says, I'm going to pay you here. The fact that he says he's going to pay you here, he has to pay anyway, number one. Number two is that he didn't really do any didn't do anything that was nice towards the Baalim, and he didn't do anything for the Baalim in order to get this Sheila. He got it, and it was all his benefit. So we say that Dibura, the owners are not going to be willing, just by his declaration that he's going to pay here, to give over to him the kefil. As opposed to that, Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, other Shomrim, if they say we're going to pay, then the Baalim are going to, at that point, say, okay, it's yours, you can have it, and you just pay me the money, because the Baalim has a relationship there. Shomer Chinam is watching him for him for free, even Shomer Sachar is doing him a favor. I mean, he's getting paid, but he's also doing some watching for the Baalim. The Baalim are getting some benefit here. The benefit that the Baalim are going to get, they agree, or how we phrased it before, was that at the time that the transaction takes place, the Baalim agree that in these instances, he's going to give over ownership of the kefil to this individual, to this shomer. Tani kavete the Rav Zvid, we have a brace that supports the position of Rav Zvid, a shoel para mechavero, someone borrowed a cow from his friend, v'nignava, and it was stolen. V'kidem ha-shoel v'shilim, and the shoel jumped in and paid for it before they found the ganav. V'achar kach nimsa ha-ganav, and then the ganav was found. Mishalim t'shlame kefil the shoel. Then the Shoel will get the Teshlumei Kefil. What does it sound from the price? It's only if he actually paid, physically paid for it, does he entitle to the Kefil. So the Lishna Kama, the Rapapa, Vadei lo Av Tiyufta. According to the first Lishna Rapapa, this price is not a question, or not a problem, because he says it also by a Shoel, that Shoel is not entitled to make a statement and then getting to come into possession of the Kefil. Rather, he must wait until he's actually paid it in order to get possession of the kefil. That's the girsa that we have. Tosfos brings here that the Rabbeinu Chananel had an alternative girsa, which is Vaday Haviyot Yufta. According to the first lashon of Rapapa, it's definitely a problem for his lashon. Why? Because the fact that he says that Meita Machmat Lacha is lo shchiach, it's not common, then that should be irrelevant whether he pays or doesn't pay. I mean, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the situation is, whether he pays, he doesn't pay, the owner will never give him possession of the kefil because the shoel is always obligated to pay. He has no other alternative. He can't be patur. There's nothing that he could do that would make himself patur. The only claim that he has is meita machmat lacha. That's not shchiach. Since he has no real claim here, even when he pays, that's what he was needed to do anyway. So he's not doing anything in excess of what is obligated of him, and therefore the Baalim will never give him kefil. That's the way the girsa of the Rachis. According to our girsa, the first lashon of Rapapa is similar to Rav Zvid, and that Rav Zvid just quoted here in the name of Abaye, and therefore it's not a problem for him. Now, the lashon of Batra, on the second lashon of Rapapa, that says that even a shoel is entitled to get possession of the kefil when he says, I'm going to pay to have a tiyuftei, this price should be a problem. How is this different than our Mishnah? The Tani Shilaim. Our Mishnah says, Shilaim ve'ukmina ba'amar. We say that our Mishnah is talking about case where he said he's going to pay, like Rabbi Yochanan said before. It doesn't mean shilem, shilem mamash, but that he says he's going to pay. So our brisa here, say the same thing in the brisa. So when it says shilem, it means not that he really paid, but that he says he's going to pay. When it says mitami, how can you compare the two? Hotam lo ktani kidem. In our Mishnah, it doesn't say kidem, it just says shilem. Hotam ktani kidem v'shilem. I mean, kidem It sounds like they actually did something physically. So he says, no, my kidem, kidem v'amar. He jumped in and he said, I'm going to pay. Not kidem actually paid, but kidem v'amar. Rai says, v'hamiktani gabi socher. We have another price that says by a socher, v'amar, that he says, I'm going to pay. V'gabi shoel, and by shoel, the price that we just quoted says kidem, says that kidem v'shilem. So it sounds like that, shma mina dafkiktani, that when it says kidem, means literally that he went ahead and paid, because we have another price by socher, which only uses the term v'amar. So if it's by socher, it says v'amar, and it uses a different lashon by shoel to say kidem v'shilem, then we can say it must be different. It must be that it's actual physical payment. That's be a problem for a papa. Rai says, mide gabi hadadi tanyo, shishailine. So what? Is it really true that these two brayos are found together? You're quoting one brayos about Shoel. Then you're quoting me another brayos about Socher. By Shoel it says Kidem Shilim. By Socher it says Va'amar. Who says these two brayos were ever said at the same time or had anything to do with each other? How can you be medayek from the lashon of one brayos about another brayos? The two brayos may have nothing to do with each other. They may have been said at independent times, said by different people. And therefore, you can't prove to me anything from one lashon of one brayos to the lashon of another brayos. Not like a Mishnah where we'd like to see consistency in the Mishnah. But a brayos, who says there's going to be consistency among the brayos unless they're actually said together? We actually asked in the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia, as Rashi points out, because they used to learn the Tosefta of the Rabbi Chiba, Tosefta of the Rabbi Oshia, that they're their Ikar brayos. And they told us that these two brayos were actually learnt together. They were juxtaposed, or they were learnt in a single time period. And if that's the case, then there is a deal to be made out of the brayta, and that will be a problem for the second lashon of a papa that says a shu'el by making a statement of that he will pay is entitled to kefil, because the brayta seems to disagree with that. Pshita, the Gemara says it's taken. We can simply say that Amar any mishalim says I will not pay. Then he decides afterwards that I'm going to pay. So at first he says, I'm not going to pay, I'm going to take a shuvah. He changes his mind and says, I will pay. He said, I will pay. And once he says, I will pay, then he's entitled to the kefil. So he's changing his mind and say that I will pay is enough to get in possession of the kefil. Ella, what the question is, Ella, Amar Harini Mishalim, if he decided up front to say, Harini Mishalim, I'm going to pay for the item, which would entitle him to the kefil, and then he changes his mind and says, I will not pay over here. My, what's the din? What do we say here? Is this a reversal of his original position where he said, I'm going to pay, and then entitled him to the kefil, and I said, I'm not going to pay. So now we say, you're no longer entitled to the kefil, you reversed your position. Maybe that he still believes he's going to pay, but now he's pushing it off. He doesn't want to make the payment right this second. So he's saying, listen, you know, I'm not going to pay right now. I'm not intending to pay. But he really does intend to pay. It's just that he's trying to buy time. Harini Mishalim, if he says that I'm going to pay for the item, meaning that I intend to pay for it and I'm going to take possession of the kefil, and then he dies. V'amrubanav, then all of a sudden his children show up, and now they're the ones who have to actually make the payment. And they say, Enanu Mishalim, we're not going to pay. So my, mi amrinu mahadur kamahadri b'hu, that the children are backing out of what their father said previously, oh, dilma v'milta davun kaimi. Or maybe they're really continuing to believe what their father said, they're going to pay for it. They don't want to pay right this second, so they're just saying, all right, we're not going to pay now, but they really intend to carry out their father's word and pay. Now, number two, shamu banim, my, if the children come ahead and make payment, what's the din? Matzi amar luhu, can he say to them, kiyak naik feilu lavuchon davidli naik nafshai? That the reason I was willing to, the balim of this item, say I'm willing to give the kefil to your father was because he did something good for me. We had a relationship, and that's a relationship, through that relationship, when he would pay me, I would give him the kefil. But you, the didchu, well, when it comes to you, the children, I don't have any relationship with you, so even if you pay me, I'm not going to give you the kefil. Oh, Dilma, Loshnam, it makes no difference. I mean, the relationship was already established, and the establishment of the relationship, right, is independent of who's making the payment later on. It has to do with the point at which the relationship was established. At that point, the Balim were willing to give the kefil over. Shilem the Banim. All right, on the other hand, what happens if the Balim passed away, and now his children are receiving payment for the item that was lost by the Shomer? My. Matzar Amrulei, what they can say to the person the Shomer now is going to pay, Kiyak Nelechla Vuna Kfeila David Leinach Nekshay. Our father was the one, he was willing to give you the kefil because you did something for him. But we, Avalanan Ledidan, though. But to us, you have no relationship with us, you haven't done anything for us, so now you want to come and pay, fine, but we're not going to give you the kefil. Odil Meloshna. Again, maybe it makes no difference, and that the establishment of the relationship is what determines whether you get paid or don't get paid over here, or whether the kefil works, is transferred or not, and it's independent of who's transacting later on. Now, Now, with the more extreme case, the Shomu Banim and the Banim. What happens if both the Shomer and the Banim are now Niftar, and their children are interacting between them? My, what's the din? Again, you could have both the din here, and what do we say the din is over here? Shilim Mechsa Mai. If he says, I'll pay for half of it, what's the din there? Meaning that he says, I'll pay for half of it, and I'll collect half the kefil, meaning I'll get Karen, I'll get the principal back, and you'll collect the other half. Can you do such a thing? Shal Shtei Parot. Now, if you say there, he can't do it, maybe because you have to pay for the whole thing, not the half item. What happens if the objects are two objects? There's two parot. There are actually two cows here. Shalem Echad Mehem, and he says, I'll pay you for one, I'll take a shvua on the other. Can he then get kefil on the one para, and then be shvua, and then the kefil will go to the balim of the other para? Or do we say, since it was one mashkon, or one pikadon, we say it's all one item. If it's all one item, you can't separate between the doom. Right. What's the din there? Shal mina shutfin. What happens if he borrowed from partners? Vishilim lechamim. And he paid the full amount to one of the shutfim. So to one of the shutfim, he's now compensated him for everything that shutaf was entitled to. So maybe he'll get half the kefil, and he'll get whatever that shutaf was entitled to. He paid him fully, he should get it. Or maybe we say no, that when you want to pay, you got to pay for the whole object, independent of who owns it, in order to get the kefil. My, what's the din there? Shutfin shishalu. What happens if partners borrowed the item, and now they want to compensate? Vishilim echad mehem. Only one of the shutfim paid for to the balim for their share of the object that was lost here, or that they are obligated to pay for. Again, are they entitled to the kefil when it comes paid up? Their portion, they paid the full amount of their portion, are they entitled to the kefil or no? Do we say that until the balim are compensated in full, he doesn't give up the kefil? Might. Shal min eisha. What happens if you borrowed from a woman? Vishilim the bala. So, instance, you borrowed a nixe malug from a woman, item that she owns, the principal and the balim only own the leasehold or the peyrot of, and you borrowed that item from the woman, and then when it was lost, you came back and you paid the money to the balim. How do we view the balim here? You have to pay it back to the isha because it's her property, or by the fact that the baal is a representative of the woman in the part that he takes care of the property, and the fact that he has a leasehold on it, and he gets the payrot and the output of the property, maybe paying him is enough to get you the kefil. Right, Mike, what's the din there? Or, isha shishala. What happens if a woman borrows something, and then the husband comes with shilein bala, and her husband compensates on her behalf? I mean, the woman borrowed it, now it's less, and then the husband steps in and says, listen, you know, she borrowed it to take care of her nixay maluk, to do something with her property, and then the balim, who are only leaseholders on the property, come in and fill in, they pay for it. Is that payment sufficient enough to bring the kefil back to the woman, or the husband and wife, or does it remain with the original balim? My, what's the din in all these cases? The Gemara leaves all of these cases in a teiku. The Gemara is inconclusive, does not know how it should work with kefil in all of these instances. Alright, we're going to stop the Gemara here, we'll continue with this tomorrow. Just point out here that Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, concludes from our Gemara that when it says over here that a person's entitled to say Hareini Mishalim, that I am going to pay, V'chazar V'amar Eini Mishalim, and then he decides afterwards that he doesn't want to pay, meaning that what is the case? Mikan mochiach abinatam diamar lechaviro. If a person says to his friend hashbea betul, right? If he says, look, you take the shua and then you can take it, meaning that really the shua is on me, and I could have taken the shua and make myself patur, but I'm going to say to you, you know what? I'm a good guy. You take the shua and then you can take it. Now kodem shenishba, before your friend takes the shua, yechol lachzorbo. Maybe he could reverse the position. V'omar hashbea v'lo shalem, and I changed my mind. I'm going to take the shua and make myself patur. Based on our gemara over here, it says that the mere fact that you say something, right, is not enough to obligate you in the davar until you've actually executed on that item, that you have a right or ability to reverse your position. That was what we saw in the Rabbeinu Tam. And Tosfos later on says that later on we found the Rabbeinu Tam in a tshuva seems to reverse his position and seems to indicate that Shapir Gassina Nishba Belavav, in another location, another Gemara, the Rabbeinu Tam seems to indicate that even if you don't take the Shua, you're not allowed to reverse your position. Ah, if that's the case, then how do we explain all the difference over here? So the Tosu says that the difference are that when, before you take a Shavu'ah, you're not to go back on it, because since you obligated yourself to pay, if the other person takes the Shavu'ah, it's as if you said that the din is over. When you say to the other person, listen, I could have taken the Shavu'ah and patterned myself, instead, you take the Shavu'ah and you'll collect from it. It's as if we've reached the point of Gemar Din. If we reach the point of Gemar Din, you can't reverse yourself. Whereas over here, when he says, Hachakam Hadam Hadabe, so what about our case over here? Over the case over here, he says, Harani Mishalim, I'm going to pay for it. If I'm going to pay for it, means there's no Shua anymore. No Shua anymore, the case is closed. It should be like a Gemar Din. So Hachakam Gemar says over here, Mahadar Hadabe, that he can go back on the position. So the Rabbeinu Tam explains our Gemar not to mean Mahadar Hadabe, that he's entitled to go back on it, but he wants to. I mean, that we're saying that his intent, or he's trying to reverse his position, not that he's able to reverse his position over here. And since he's intending to wants to reverse his position, even though he can't, then the Balim don't give him the kefil because they forced him to come to Beis Din now. Before, he said, I would have paid Harini Mishalim. Then he says, you know, now I changed my mind. I'm not going to pay you now. Now the guy's got to drag him to court and force him to pay. Once he drags him to court and forces him to pay, he says, I'm not going to give you the kefil. You made me go through all this effort to get this money out of you, even though you're obligated to give the money. Nevertheless, the fact that you tried to change your mind, even though you're not entitled to, but you forced me to go through the effort to go to Beis Din, therefore I'm not going to give you the kefil anymore. So that's the conclusion. The Bein HaTam's conclusion is that when we say Mahadar Hadar Beis, not that he has a right to change his mind over here, but that if he changes his mind, then the circumstance or situation changes to the fact that the other party now has to go through a lot much more effort to get the money out of you. If you're claiming that I want to change my mind and I changed my mind, he has to bring you to court. If that's the case, then he's not going to be willing to give you the kefil in that instance, and that's the question of the Gemara over here. Okay, we'll stop here.